Budweiser's weekday sports beat continues on 96.1 FM WSBT with the NDInsider.com recruiting update. Here's Darren Pritchett, Eric Hansen, and the South Bend Tribune's Fighting Irish football recruiting insider, Tyler James.
It's one of our favorite times of the week. We hear from Tyler and we find out everything that's going on in Fighting Irish football recruiting from the recruiting insider. For the South Bend Tribune, Tyler James. You can follow him on Twitter at TJamesNDI. That's TJamesNDI. And, of course, you can follow him in the South Bend Tribune and NDInsider.com. Excuse me. Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing well, Darren. How about yourself?
Doing okay. Thank you so much. Since we last spoke, Nana Asofo-Mensah, a weak side defensive end from near Fort Worth, Texas, verbally committed to the Fighting Irish, and he seems like a guy that a lot of the great schools in college football were interested in, and in-state Texas, a late push. But Tyler, Mensah said yes to the University of Notre Dame. Put it into perspective, how important was his commitment to the Fighting Irish?
Yeah, it's really important. I think we always are trying to figure out what Notre Dame's going to do in terms of finding pass rushers, and it has been somewhat of an issue in recruiting. The 2018 class, Justin Adamalola is a weak side defensive end, though, who I think is probably more of a strong side defensive end. So to me, I don't know that they really addressed the position in 2018. And then the 2017 class had Kofi Wardlow, who's a project that Notre Dame is working on developing, and then Jonathan McAllister, who's already gone from the program. So there was a bit of a gap developing there, and Nana will help fill that. The Irish haven't signed a four-star recruit at weak side defensive end, according to Rivals rankings, since Julian Aquara in the 2016 class. That class also included Dalen Hayes, but he was projected as an outside linebacker, although he does play weak side defensive end for Notre Dame. So I think it's important in that aspect, getting a weak side defensive end. It also kind of helps bolster this defensive line class they're putting together, which is starting to become one of the best D-line classes of the Kelly era. We'll see if they can add some more help there. And beating Texas in Texas for a four-star recruit is important. Notre Dame doesn't always get a four-star recruits when they head down to Texas. Sometimes they're settling for three-star recruits down there, but to get a four-star recruit like Nana Asofo-Mensah at such an important position, it just kind of all comes together as a big recruiting victory led by Mike Elston. So really good news for the Irish, and hopefully if they can use that as some sort of momentum moving into the summer months.
Mr. Hansen, Mike Elston's had a pretty good couple of months.
He has. Tyler had a picture of him with his both his hands up in the air. I said he's kind of frozen that position lately because he's had a really nice run. Tyler, I know you had a chance to talk to Nana today. What was maybe a takeaway that you got from talking to him? And in terms of maybe high end of this guy, ceiling of this guy, who might he compare to that Notre Dame fans would be familiar with?
Yeah, I think in terms of a comparison, I think Dalen Hayes isn't a bad comparison, although Dalen played more linebacker throughout high school. But I think sort of a similar skill set. I do think Nana has a chance to be a bit bigger than Dalen. But someone that can really come off the edge, could also drop in coverage if needed, can do a little bit of everything, and just has really good athleticism. So there's really not a long catalog of guys that you can compare him to, because like I mentioned, Notre Dame hasn't really found guys like Nana at the weak side defensive end position. So, and then in terms of talking to Nana today, spoke to him about a number of different things. I thought it was kind of interesting. He talked about Mike Elston sort of laid out a plan for him, how he wants to develop him, the way he will use him throughout his career, and he really had a lot of trust in that and what Mike Elston was telling him. Obviously, academics is a very important factor in his decision, being able to decide to leave the state of Texas and come to Notre Dame. His parents are academically focused, so I think that it just all kind of worked together for Notre Dame. He'd actually had been silently committed, which is a term I don't love, but he told Notre Dame that he planned to come to Notre Dame after he left for his official visit at Notre Dame, but then obviously after that took an official visit to Texas and was sort of weighing those two. But he said the whole time he was visiting Texas, he just kept thinking about Notre Dame, so that was why he knew he made the right choice.
Before I get to my real question, as a White Sox fan, do you think when Mensah gets a sack at Notre Dame Stadium, they should play the Na 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 Hey Hey song?
I would be down with that. That'd be good.
See where I'm going there?
I see where you're
yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were pausing for me to give my approval or if you wanted me to ask.
You looked at
question.
Me really funny, so I didn't know. All right, here's my
Eric has had that look on his face all day.
I looked at you the same way I looked when you showed me the Ian Happ bobblehead.
Oh, yeah. That's a story for another day. So here's my real question. So in this class of 2019, you've got a weak side defensive end, a strong side defensive end, a nose guard, and a defensive tackle. It's kind of a future defensive line. How good is that group as you put all four together?
I think it's very good. I mean, the fact that they're all four-star recruits is saying something. They don't normally get that many four-star recruits in one class. There's usually, if they can get a good class, they'll get a couple good guys, and then you'll get a couple three-star guys as well. So to be able to have that in this class is just, it's really good top to bottom. Obviously, we'll wait to see. I think they're going to add one or two more potentially in this class. So it could be a real pushing to be one of the best classes they've had under the Kelly era. I think, I don't know if they'll ever beat the 2011 class, which included Aaron Lynch and Ben Council as four-star recruits and Stephon Tuitt and Ishaq Williams as five-star recruits. And then the 2016 class, I think it's the class they're probably in the discussion with right now, with that had Julian Aquara, Dalen Hayes, and Khalid Kareem, with all those guys being four-star recruits. But I think that class didn't necessarily have standout defensive tackles, and I think Jacob Lacy and Hunter Spears could be that in this class. So it really has a chance to be an important one, because I think that it's always been tough for Notre Dame to recruit defensive line as of late, and to be able to continue to do that would be really important.
Tyler, I don't know if Luke Deal pitches, but I know he plays tight end, and Notre Dame is trying to get a verbal commitment from him. I think that he's either the top or one of the top tight end prospects in the country. What does it look like in terms of Notre Dame possibly getting that commitment? Who else is involved?
Well, Deal would certainly be a good name for a pitcher, because he could be dealing on the mound, but I don't know that he has a baseball career in his future. He is a tight end. I also don't know that
they could have used him yesterday.
He's from South Carolina, so he might end up going to Clemson. Clemson is one of the other schools that is in his recruitment: Auburn, Notre Dame, Michigan, NC State, Ohio State. I don't really know what's going to happen with Luke's decision. That's supposed to come tomorrow evening. I don't consider Notre Dame a favorite. I'd be a little bit surprised if it were Notre Dame, but nothing would really surprise me with his decision here. So something we'll have to kind of see how it plays out. 6'5", 230-pound recruit out of Greenwood, South Carolina. He's a four-star recruit and the number 9 tight end, according to 24/7 Sports. So we'll see what his decision is, but I think Notre Dame won't have as much luck as they had with Nana Osafa-Mensah, and then they'll have to kind of reevaluate where they're at with tight ends and see who could be their next option.
Okay, and so Wisher and Matt come off the board. Do you think that Notre Dame's just going to go after one tight end in the class, and if they don't get Deal, who's maybe the top prospects they're looking at, and are they kind of in the same echelon as this kid?
I think they could go after potentially two. I just don't know that there's a bunch of names right now that would make it obvious that they could easily get two in the class. But I think they'll certainly try to add at least one. The most talented guy in the class that they're pursuing is Hudson Henry, the number 1 tight end out of Pulaski Academy, which is the same high school as Luke Jones. But his
and
brother's
who coaches
also
that team?
That would be Kevin Kelly, never punt Kevin Kelly. They will. His older brother's played at Arkansas, so it seems to be hard to imagine him not going to Arkansas, but he's actually going to announce a top 5 tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see if Notre Dame makes that list even. They might not. We'll have to see what happens there. Ethan Ray was a guy that Notre Dame had been after for a long time, and he left Notre Dame off of his top 10 out of California. So the two other options right now, Jude Wolf out of St. John Bosco High School. He has been on campus previously, and then they recently offered Eric All out of Fairfield, Ohio. He's more of an athletic tight end, with Jude being more of a bigger-bodied tight end. So they're looking at all kinds of different shapes and sizes when it comes to the tight end position, and they may end up having to add a few more guys to the offer list to get what they want.
Talking Fighting Irish football recruiting with Tyler James, Fighting Irish football recruiting insider for the South Bend Tribune. Did the Irish miss out on any recruits this week?
Yeah, in the last week, three guys that Notre Dame have been targeting committed elsewhere. No real surprises. Salim Turner Muhammad committed to Stanford on Sunday. Brandon Smith, a linebacker out of Virginia, committed to Penn State on Monday. And Jeremiah Crudell, a cornerback out of California, committed to Oregon on Sunday. None of those guys, I guess Brandon Smith and Salim Turner Muhammad at certain points, I think, were very high on Notre Dame. Jeremiah Crudell hadn't actually visited Notre Dame, but he did include Notre Dame on his top five. Certainly at the cornerback position, they have K.J. Wallace already, and looking to add maybe another cornerback there. And there's a lot of linebackers at Notre Dame sitting in a good spot with, although none maybe the caliber of Brandon Smith.
Okay, so we haven't had a lot of big news with wide receivers in this class, I understand that in-state wide receiver Bryce Kurtz received a Notre Dame offer this week. You know, what kind of caliber guy is he, and do you think some of the wide receivers are maybe putting Notre Dame on the back burner till they see if the passing game has upgraded this fall?
I think that's absolutely the case. There hasn't been a lot of headway for Notre Dame in terms of guys at the wide receiver position really leaning towards Notre Dame. I think they're kind of in a wait-and-see mode, which is kind of interesting because that's usually kind of how we would describe if a couple years ago how defensive recruits kind of waiting to see how Notre Dame's defense does. But Notre Dame has pretty traditionally recruited pretty well at wide receiver and not had too many issues there, but looking to gain some traction with the number of guys, have hosted some, but nothing that really looks like obvious options of future commitment. So adding a guy to the offer list like Bryce Kurtz, 6 foot, 175 pound kid out of Brownsburg High School here in Indiana, 54 receptions for 897 yards and 14 touchdowns, has really good speed. He actually played with Hunter Johnson, who is the quarterback who is transferring out of Clemson, who was a five-star quarterback at one point that Notre Dame was actually going after. And Kurtz, back when they were recruiting Hunter, visited Notre Dame a couple times for games in the 2016 season, wasn't back last year, but we'll see if they can get him back on campus. Doesn't have a lot of big-time national offers: Michigan State, Northwestern, Duke, Iowa, Purdue, and Indiana. Some more of a regional prospect at this point. But 24/7 Sports has him as a four-star recruit, as the number 41 wide receiver. Rivals a little bit lower, three stars, number 64 wide receiver.
Any Notre Dame football players having any success in track and field this spring?
Yeah, last weekend was Braden Lindsey's chance at winning a couple more state championships. He unfortunately only won one, which I guess if you're any normal athlete, that is a good thing. But he was hoping to win four potentially. Got second places in the 200, the 400, and the 4x4, and then got a first place in the 4x100 relay by running the anchor leg. He'd actually won the 400 the last two years in a row. Lost this year with a time of 47.52, which was .07 off the winning time. So a tough break for him there, but he's looking forward to getting on campus and impacting the football team and the track team in the future. And then this week, Jamion Franklin is competing in the state championship in Maryland. He will be throwing the shot put today, throwing the discus on Saturday. He's seeded to well ahead of the other competitors in the 2A class in Maryland. With last weekend, he threw the shot put 53 feet, 5.5 inches, and threw the discus 175 feet, 10 inches, which would be a state record if he is able to match that at the state meet. It's an unofficial record when it's not at the state meet. So he's actually seated 34 feet ahead of anyone else in the class in terms of discus. So the heavy favorite there, but he's got to obviously go out and see if he can do that and win some state titles on the track before he heads to Notre Dame next month.
Okay, Notre Dame is going to have a new track and field coach next year when Braden Lindsey gets here. If you were a betting man, if you had to bet batch of pumpkin rolls.
My pockets are emptying as you speak.
Yeah, if you had to bet a batch of pumpkin rolls, would you put your money on Braden Lindsey in a 40 or Troy Pride Jr. in a 40?
I think I would go with Troy. I think he will be faster for Troy, at least right away, or faster than Braden, at least right away. I think Braden could catch up to him eventually in his career, but I do think Troy is faster right now. I would put my money on Troy, although it would be a very little amount of money. It'll be interesting to see how he does. Braden running the 400, I think I have the utmost respect for anyone that runs the 400. I think that's probably the craziest run in track, at least from what my friends that have run that have told me. I would never dare to try to run a 400.
Tyler, what type of stories are you working on for IndyInsider.com and the South Bend Tribune?
Yeah, I got a story. I caught up with Noah Boykin, the cornerback signee in the 2018 class. He'll be here next month to talk to him a little bit about coming to Notre Dame and being ready to potentially contribute early. And then I also spoke with Donna Osafa-Mensah earlier today, so I'll have a story this weekend in the paper about him as well.
Very good. He is Tyler James with all the latest information involving Notre Dame football recruiting. And as always, Tyler, we greatly appreciate your time, and we will talk to you next week.
See you guys.
All right. Tyler James, Fighting Irish Football Recruiting Insider for the South Bend Tribune. Follow him in the Tribune, IndyInsider.com, and on Twitter at TJamesNDI. And you will be ready to tell all your friends about what's happening with Fighting Irish Football Recruiting. When we come back, it is a Notre Dame football-related My 5 Question of the Day from Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, brought to you by Budweiser, Lavitt Insurance, Goshen Heart and Vascular, and Blackthorn Golf Club.